today on Real Radio.
If you know the behind the scenes of this church, we often pray, God, thank you that of all the people in all the world, you picked us knuckleheads. Knucklehead is Greek for a person privileged to occupy a place that very few think. We get to be servants to the church of God that he gave with his own blood.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Give Them Jesus, Part 2, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 4 today with verses 15 through 20. How can we, who are sinful by nature, come to God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through his gospel of grace. We were shown in part 1 of Give Them Jesus that our life events will reveal who we really are. Our life makes a difference when we have Jesus as our example. So if you're longing to see someone you know come to salvation, don't give them a diamond-studded cross or a gold-leaf Bible. Just give them Jesus through your weakness and pain so that Christ alone will be glorified in your suffering. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that there will be false teachers who are anxious to win us over. They'll try to shut us off from the truth so that we'll become dependent on them. And their seduction will be to attract people to themselves and not towards Christ. And now continuing his lesson called Give Them Jesus, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So maybe Paul in Hebrews 13:7 would say to the Galatian believers, listen, you guys, think about me often. You think I'm your enemy? Wait, think about me often and think about what you have thought about me. Not only that, but I've been commissioned by God to rule over you. How does that sit with you? I can feel. I'm just saying in a hypothetical sense. You could feel the tension growing. Wait a minute. You be a pastor, Paul. You be up there behind the microphone, Paul. That's okay. But don't come from behind it. Don't find out about my life. Because you know what? When this word says here that there'll be those who will rule over you regarding spiritual matters, I don't want to do that because I'm gonna govern my own ship. I'm gonna do my own thing. See, we hold, and I understand the culture has formed it this way, and conduct and ministry often has formed it this way, that we see ministers corrupt. And as long as we keep them at arm's length, they're okay. Pastor, just stay in your box and don't come out. And yet, if you and I have a true spiritual friend who cares about your soul's outcome, it should be, it's been ordained by God to be so, the pastor of the church that you attend and the staff that is under that pastor. But we've been tainted by the world around us. In 1990, a long time ago, I had a very famous man tell me this. And I wrote it down, so I quote it to you today. Jack, remember this, that the flock, by and large, they think they love you until you have to shepherd them like Jesus did. Then what they have said about you will be compared to how they respond to you. And I wrote that down. That's a very powerful thing. What was Paul doing? He was leading them to Jesus and teaching them about Jesus. And then he wags his finger at them and says, you've erred. You're going off the deep end. And they begin to break rank with him. And they begin to accuse him. Paul says, obey those who rule over you. Paul says, have I become your enemy? He says in, again, Hebrews 13:7, submit. The word is surrender your guard. Submit to them, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so. This is my part. Let me do so with joy and not with grief, for that would not be profitable. The book of Hebrews tells us not only to obey, but then it goes to the word submit. Oh, brother, do we hate that word. Submit. Yeah, you want to know why? If a person is called by God to watch out for your soul, they're going to teach you the black and white, the ins and the outs, and they're not going to care about popularity. Paul was not concerned about popularity. He wanted the truth. But you and I have been tainted so that we see somebody in the pulpit, and isn't it sad? The first thing we think about is, well, I wonder who they are in private. I may get mail for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I do not believe that people should have the title pastor unless their lives can be seen in private. Oh, don't get me wrong. Do I need to protect the welfare and the safety and the sanctity of my own children and my family? Of course. Of course, and that would be the will of God. But should we not fellowship together, you and I? Should we not have meals together, you and I? Should we not live together? Didn't the early church have all things in common? Well, what does that mean? That the body lived in one part and all of the pastors and had the gift of pastor-teacher lived in some other camp? I don't think so. Oh, I'm going to get letters for this. But I believe there are a lot of people occupying the pulpit that have the gift of teaching, which is a gift of the scriptures, no doubt about it, but they do not have the gift of pastor-teacher. Give me a pastor who loves his people and teaches okay. Don't give me a pastor who is an incredible teacher who's not a pastor at all. Do you hear what I'm saying? Paul says, have I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. See, you and I live in a culture, we live in a part of the world. You guys, we are so spoiled. We can punch radio dials. Boop, 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 boop. And man, we get awesome stuff. We can go from Chuck Swindoll to Chuck Smith to David Hawking to Charles Stanley to Adrian Rogers to, I don't know, fill in the blanks. Aren't we plump? Wow. But how much pastoring's going on? You say, well, Pastor, I've been trying to get together with you for 3 months, and I'm trying. You're not the only one who goes here. That's why other people here have jobs. I've hired a staff, and I'm trying to meet with you. If you call, you'll be put on the books. It may take us 3 months or 6 months, but I'm trying. But you know what? I would rather be an okay teacher, but a tremendous lover of your soul, and that would be communicated to you. That's my prayer. God, make me a lover of their souls. Help me to present them to you. And I shouldn't walk around going, no, brother, I'm a pastor. He says it shouldn't be done grievously. Oh, man. Oh, ministry. Oh, what can I do for you? No. If you know the behind the scenes of this church, we often pray, God, thank you that of all the people in all the world, you picked us knuckleheads. Knucklehead is Greek for a person privileged to occupy a place that very few think. We get to be servants to the church of God that he gave with his own blood. Ministry. Oh, what? We're blessed. Anybody on staff here? We're blessed. We get to minister to you. Think about it. It's an amazing thing. And if we're doing ministry right, you should be sitting there saying, I can do that. I can be a pastor teacher. I can be an evangelist. I can go on a mission trip. I can be joining the prayer ministry. I can do that. See, if ministry is being done right, you ought to be able to sit there and say, I can do this, rather than sitting in the pews going, I could never do what he's doing. Where do you think the early church would have gone and what it would have become if that was the picture God's servant sent out? Hello, I'm Paul. You should be blessed that I'm here. I know that I occupy a position high and lofty. In fact, even lifted up high above where you all live. No, wherever Paul went, he replicated ministers. Have you ever been around a minister or a church that when you get in there and you start serving, you go, you know, I can do this. But listen, I got to tell you, a ministry that's going to be like that, well, you'll discern quickly. It's the what's so encouraging to you is that they got their eyes on Jesus. That's the deal. They realize there's no strength in and of themselves. And so they come, they say, well, there's a lot wrong here. Of course there is. We'll agree with you quickly. Yes, sure, there is. And people start to point out things. Well, this and that and that and that. And we say, hallelujah. God must have shown this to you so you can make a difference about it. Sign up. I don't like the carpet. You must be a person connected to a carpet company. Whatever it might be. I just made that part up, but I'm just... Look at verse 17. If we're going to give them Jesus, we need to be not only willing to tell them about the error, but we must be able to show them the error. Paul says in verse 17, and he exposes them. He just pulls, I mean, not the Galatians, the false shepherds that have come to steal. He pulls their robes right off, so to speak, and exposes their fruit. He says, verse 17, they zealously court you, but not for good. Yes, they want to exclude you. That is, pull you away from the truth, that you may be zealous for them. Mark that, Christian, mark it. These are the days and age in which we live. I know it's late, and I know you're tired maybe or whatever. You need to mark verse 17. I believe verse 17 is going to be a key verse in our church future. I mean church, not only this church, but the Christian in the world right now. Mark it. There are those pulling people away from the truth to exalt themselves. This is the age in which we live in, isn't it? Isn't that what Jesus warned us about? That in the last days men would come? It's the aggrandizement of the minister. They want to pull you away from the truth, Paul is saying. Listen, be careful. Listen to what Warren Wiersbe says. One of the marks of the false shepherd in today's pulpit is that he will seek to attract people to himself. They want people to be manservants. Cults are like that. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, Paul said, take heed to yourselves unto the flock of God, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, Paul says, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among your own selves, men will rise up speaking perverse things. Now, what do you think? Speaking perverse things. That doesn't mean they're going around town cussing. It means they will occupy the pulpit under the title of a shepherd, and they will get people to become dependent upon them. Perverse things. That means they're not going to show up in the pulpit and pull out a Playboy magazine, for crying out loud. It means something worse, that they will quietly and secretly weave their tentacles in among your faith and begin to pull themselves into your heart. He says, to draw away disciples after themselves. Acts chapter 20, verse 31 says, therefore, watch them. Watch out and remember, for the space of 3 years, I did not cease to warn you about this day and night with tears. Wow. Day and night with tears. On and on we could go about this. It's dangerous, and we're living in that age. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 1, 4 says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. Listen, people, this is the Bible. In other words, pastors, Christians who care, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and with teaching. For the time will come when they, that is the organized professing church, will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to storytelling. Revelation 3:18. Jesus says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich and have a white garment, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Remember, he's speaking to the church here. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And as many as I love, what does he say? I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent, says Jesus. Behold, isn't this amazing verse? He speaks this to the church, not at the evangelistic crusade. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open that door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus outside of a church. We're living in those days. An example of being able to show people their error, Titus chapter 1, verse 10. Is this boring you? You guys are awful quiet. You all right? Titus chapter 1, verse 10 says, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. There you go, Galatians, the legalists, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not to teach, for the sake of dishonest gain, making money. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars and evil beasts and lazy gluttons. They went around manipulating people. And Paul says, this is true. This is what they do. They tear people up. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Wow. Rebuke them sharply. What if you and I are erring? We're to be rebuked. Privately, you're to come to me, or I'm to go to you and say, this isn't right. And this is what happens. You know, you got somebody who's really in darkness when you say, listen, it breaks my heart to tell you, but this thing, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. And they'll come right back on this. And you know, you got somebody that's just, it's going to be a hard work. They'll say, you're judging me. No, I'm not. I'm not. Look here in the Bible. It says right here, the word of God, my friend, is judging you. Don't continue in this course. But because we're proud, we'll fight that. And it ought not to be true. We should be able to trust our leaders. Do they care for your soul? You need to stop and, you know, forget that this is Sunday morning. Forget that we're in a church right now. Think right now for your own life, for your own spiritual security. Stop and think, does the ministry that I attend really care for my soul? You need to get that answered. Peter learned this example from Paul. In Galatians 2, we studied it when Paul was there coming. Peter shows up. Remember he's with all these Gentile believers. Peter's there eating with them and having a great time with them, probably eating pork chops and clams and all the things that they weren't supposed to eat as a Jew. And Paul shows up and rebukes Peter to his face. Now, you got to think about that for a minute. Everybody, wake up, listen. This is Peter. Peter's the guy. Does he have a legacy? Oh, big time. Does he have a heritage? Big time. I'm Peter. Paul shows up and rebukes him to his face and calls him a hypocrite. Now, what do you think? Paul rebukes him, and Peter is listening to this and says, that's it. I don't want to be an apostle anymore. Take a letter. James, I quit. To the council at Jerusalem and all those who are, you know, who think I'm something, I quit. Paul rebuked me. I don't want to be an apostle anymore. No, the Bible says Peter took it and became a stronger and better man for it. Praise the Lord for that, huh? I want to conclude as we look to this portion of Scripture with this word. Look at verse 18. He says, but it is good to be zealous and a good thing always, and not only when I'm present with you. In other words, you guys, you can be crazy for the truth. You should be. Me being there or not being there should not be an influence at all. You should love the Lord because, listen, church, listen, this church, you should be loving and serving and doing what you do for Jesus, not for Paul's sake and not for Jack's sake. You understand that? It's important. I'll say why in a moment. He says, my little children, of whom I labor in birth again until Christ be formed in you. This Greek word speaks about a woman giving birth to a child that's already been born. She does it again. Now, look, is there a woman in this building that would say, you know what, after giving birth to a child, 5 minutes later, I'd like to do it again? To the same child? Maybe twins? The same child? No. Hey, Mom, I just came out backwards. Have the doctor stuff me back in. I'll come out the right way this time. That mom would get up and leave. You're on your own, buckaroo. Paul says, how good is this? I'm giving birth to you again in my heart, all over again. That ought not to be. He says in verse 20, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Wow. Do you see why verses 12 to 20, scholars have declared that it is the most passionate, unlike any other portion of Scripture Paul ever wrote, the most passionate and yet desperate teaching Paul ever gave, verses 12 to 20. He is absolutely, you guys, with what these words mean in the original language, you would probably leave this building if I were to reenact what these words mean. He would be on his knee pleading with them. He's crying. He's Jewish, which means when he speaks, he looks like a helicopter talking. His hands are everywhere. When they talk to you, they're acting things out. Have I become your enemy? He's not writing with this tone.
Have I become your enemy?
He would have been yelling. Have I become your enemy? He's weeping. I believe that if churches had such a pastor, you couldn't build walls around that church. Because the world would want to come and get loved. The great thing, this is both a great thing and a horrific thing, that when a church has a pastor, it is a spiritual law of God that that ministry will take on the heart of that shepherd, or that, as we put it in this church, sheepdog. If I'm the sheepdog, what comes out of this pulpit, you're going to assimilate into your spiritual walk. That is spooky. Unless that minister is pointing you to Jesus. Then that's a good thing. God says in the last days, in Jeremiah chapter 3, I'm going to give shepherds to teach my people the word of God, and their hearts will be after my own hearts. That's my prayer. And so I end with this. A true servant of God, Paul is teaching us, does not go around and exalt himself or the leadership, the staff. A true servant of God should be able to say with the staff, we're here to serve these people. Whatever we do, it should be what's best for them. Why? Because we have to give an account in the day of the Lord. And I wonder how often that's remembered in the ministry. We're to be servants. May God work and move and bless in this fellowship the way He wants to do it. We need to care and love for each other. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, in these days, when we live in evil times, when warnings are coming, they may or may not be true. But Father, give us the hearts of ministers that have gone on before us who were true, who were real, who were men who not only pointed others to Jesus, they knew their great dependency upon Jesus as well. And Father, we ask that you would take of this house, set your hand upon it, make it, Lord, a place of pasture, of feeding, of growth in these last days in a most sweet way, that the glory may be all of yours and none of our own. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Give Them Jesus, Part 2. Thanks for listening today, and like the Apostle Paul, it's good to be zealous for the truth, and in all we do it for the sake of Christ. Give Them Jesus, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not of our works, should any of us boast. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. By the way, if you have a question about anything you might have heard on the radio today, head over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit the Contact tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And hit the Contact tab. We would love to put you in contact with somebody who can help you out with your question. It's not a problem at all. Just get a hold of us. Hit the Contact tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.